we are dealing with the structural properties, and the first section is devoted to variational formulation. And there, the Lagrangian formulation. And the Hamiltonian one. So this is a very classical subject that I want to show you details because it's important. So let me remind you where we are. We have the nonlinear Schrödinger equation will be written in the form in dimension n in the whole space, and we need there is a quantity that f, so f will be a smooth function that vanish at zero, and there is a quantity that we always need in this setting is the integral of little f. So if you think of little f being a power law, this is again a power law. Right? And we will suppose in all our calculations, we'll suppose that psi tends to zero, vanishes at infinity, it in all directions. Decrease at infinity fast enough to have all the integration by part that we need. Right, and now we're going to define the Lagrangian density. This we did yesterday. I just need the formula to continue. So, the Lagrangian density is a function of psi and complex conjugate, and I express it in terms of I over 2. This is a real number plus gradient psi gradient psi. Right? So this is the P must be 1 here and 1 there. Well, I'm going to write it like this, sorry. So psi bar Ct, alright, and now we're going to define the action, and the action S will be defined as the integral over a certain interval of time t1t, and over the space of L, of psi. Dx. All right, and so this function, this S, is a functional. It acts on function psi, and we will consider, we will see S as a functional acting on smooth function psi, such that prescribed values at t equal t1 and t0 and t1. This is right. So, for example, we fix that psi at T0 is C0, and at T1 is T. Right? And our goal, yes, so we are interested in extrema. We are interested in extrema of S over these admissible functions. And for this, we're going to calculate in infinitesimal setting delta S as being S of psi when you change psi to psi plus delta psi, psi bar plus delta psi bar. And you want to evaluate this for infinitesimal perturbation delta psi. So essentially, we're going to do Taylor expansion, and we're interested in the extrema, so the function psi that leads to delta s equals 0. And this extrema, we will see, satisfies some equations that are called the Euler-Lagrange equation associated to the action. And this Euler-Lagrange equation are exactly the nonlinear Schrodinger equation. So this is the way you see the Lagrangian formulation of M. So this is a calculation we did yesterday. So I just write the result. I write the first line and the last line. So delta S. So how do you do this? You essentially write the variation in terms of the Taylor expansion. We differentiate psi respect to L respect to psi, delta psi, plus you differentiate L with respect to all the gradients, delta. Right? Plus you differentiate L with respect to the t derivatives, so all the derivatives, psi t, delta of psi t. Then you have to add the complex conjugate to make it a real quantity. The exit. And when you then you integrate by parts, the derivative acts. You put this derivative acting on the L, whatever it is, this dt, and the bound term, the term on the boundary at t with 0 in t1, because of the set of functions that we consider, they vanish. They're all the same. So what remains is the parenthesis delta psi dx dt equals 0. And what is in this parenthesis is exactly dl dc, this one. So plus the same thing, complex conjugate. So what is in this parenthesis? dl dc, this is this one, just copy, minus sigma over I d dx I of dl x I psi minus d dt t. So a function psi is an extremum of S if it satisfies what's called the Lagrange, the Euler-Lagrange equation. The Euler-Lagrange equation says that this parenthesis is exactly zero. So dL dC equals the Lagrange equation associated to this Lagrangian, and the next thing is to substitute L into this formula and to recover an LS. Now, for later, I will need. Do I need that immediately? No, not immediately. Well, I'm going to. We will need. So you have this, and you have the complex conjugate also. Just the same. The complex conjugate is the complex conjugate of the equation. And maybe later, when we do the Hamiltonian, you know, you can work or with psi and psi bar, or with real psi and imaginary psi. It's just equivalent. Sometimes it's more convenient one or the other. So later, I may have to write this in terms of U, which is the real part of psi, and V, the imaginary part. Okay, so I'm not going to write immediately, but later, just for you to remember, we can write this in terms of real and imaginary. All right, so let's calculate. What is dL dC? So you have to see L as a functional of psi, psi bar, psi t, psi bar t, gradient, all the derivatives, and derivative of the complex conjugate. So if you calculate what comes here, dL dψ, where do you have dL dψ? You have one term here, which is minus I over 2 psi bar t. And what else? Can you help me calculating dL dψ? Which other term? The last one. So you differentiate f is a function of psi bar, right? Differentiate f respect to its variable, it's exactly little f, and differentiate this respect to psi gives a psi bar. So what do I write here? Plus little f equal, and here it's quite easy, differentiate L respect to d c dxi, it gives you this one, it gives you so d dxi of this d psi bar dxi, so this is a Laplacian, right? And plus d dt, differentiate L respect to psi t, but it's here, where is psi t? I over 2. So here's the equation, nonlinear Schrodinger equation, the two terms come together, the first and the last, ICT, I have it with a complex conjugate, we're going to modify it in a minute. Hope I have the right signs.
do I have the right sign? This is minus. Do I have the right sign? So take the complex conjugate and change the signs. I don't have to, they have a problem with the signs. Can you check my signs? LDT okay, this is okay, this is the LDT, this is the LDT. Did I have minus yesterday? I had minus yesterday. I don't cheat, right? Those who were here yesterday, I had the minus. Yeah, thank you. Here's still okay. Yeah, thank you. So this is. So this is a Lagrangian structure. I will need some formula. So I will keep all this. And now I would like to show you the Hamiltonian formula. Define Hamiltonian density. That I'm going to define with H like this, which will be defined as I over 2 psi bar dt. Oopsie, keep the same notation. And it will be useful sometimes, well, it will be just useful to write it in terms of real part and imaginary part. So if you write it in terms of real part and imaginary part, this combines to give V. So you see that this is real, right? This is an imaginary part. This is a real number. So it gives you dtu, vut minus uvt minus n. And one can write L in terms of real and imaginary. Okay, so here we have to introduce the canonical variables. And the canonical variable will be simply Q1 being the real and the imaginary part, So again, here I do it with the real imaginary. You can do the same with the psi and psi bar. Just a question of choice. Sometimes things simplify it a bit better. But Q1 is U, Q2 is V, and you know that we need the conjugate a variable. So P1 will be dL d. dtu. This is also dL dtq1. So p1 will be the derivative of the Lagrangian respect to dtq1, and p2 will be the derivative of the Lagrangian respect to dtv. So this will be our variable. And in this setting, then you can rewrite H. H becomes, you play with this in terms of P and Q, sigma over I, PI dtq, right? This is H. And another note, we will need to introduce rho. So what is rho? Rho is a vector. So I will have I vectors. So rho will be I vectors, so I index them by I, and they have components. So I'm going to write the components of these vectors. Rho j of each I, it will be dl d So our purpose is to calculate the extrema of the Hamiltonian density and see that they correspond to solution of NLS, right? And to write and write also the non-linear Schrödinger equation in terms of, probably you've seen it many times, di dpt. Where do I put the I? I'm not sure when I put the I. Tell you in advance so you know where we're going. Where do I put the I? Put the I here. Okay, so this is what we're going to obtain.
What is d sub j? What it refers to? First of all, I and j runs from 1
to 2. So, I should have that. Sorry. From 1 to 2, right? We have p1, p2. And now, d sub j means dx, right? I should write dxj. Alright? So, there are two vectors. There are two vectors and they have n components. So thank you for asking the question. All right. So now, where is the Euler-Lagrange equation? It is here. So I'm going to rewrite the Euler-Lagrange equation using this pi, qi, rho. So I'm going to erase this, but use what is above. But since I'm working with the real and imaginary part, I'm going to rewrite this in terms of real and imaginary part. So this can be, you write this, you take the complex conjugate to have the psi and psi bar, and then you get dldu equals sigma. I need to do that. Dxi u dt u t. And the imaginary part the same with v. Replace the u by v, and by v. All right. So this is. So if I rewrite this in terms of the p, the q, etc., I get dl. So we have u and v. U and v is q1, q2. So we have two equations. dl dqi, and I will be 1 and 2, equals so this one is easy. I'm just going to write it dt pi, and the middle term I am going to write it because of this definition here, divergence of rho I. So the first calculation I would like to do with the Hamiltonian is to show the first little lemma is to calculate its evolution, the evolution of the density of the Hamiltonian density. So I will. We're going to check that H defined here satisfies the equation ddt of H plus a divergence of a certain term equals 0. I'm going to write that in a minute. And this gives you immediately the conservation of H. Yeah, if you integrate that with respect to x, you obtain that h, which is the integral of the density, which is sometimes called the Hamiltonian, is conserved. Yeah. So h of t is equal to h of t. So what is inside this divergence? Inside the divergence we have, this is a simple calculation, we're going to do it immediately. Divergence. This is a vector, right? I'm going to sum over I dqi. So there are different terminologies. Sometimes people call that Hamiltonian when you think of this context of waves. In context of quantum mechanics, Hamiltonian is the operator, minus Laplacian plus V. But well, depending on what field, the terminology is not exactly the same. Anyway, so this is the first lemma that I would like to do with you. And the second thing will be to obtain, yes?
Yes? Well, they're the same because you have a mistake. Yes. So P, what is P? So Q is D. So you see here dU/dt is. Let's do it on a little. Yeah. Well, you have to use yes exactly. Yes, it is. So you have to calculate, you see, you have to see that, what is P1? What is P1, Andrew? P1 is dL/dQ1, right? Here, definition, which means differentiate L respect to dTU. The question... So what is the... P1 is V, right? And P2 is minus U. So why is that? Because you have to calculate what is I over 2 C bar CT minus CT bar C, right? This is... You have to worry about the signs, but essentially this is imaginary part of you have to correct my signs, but this is essentially that, right? André? So calculate this imaginary part of U plus IV UT minus IVT, which is what is it? VUT minus UVT, right? This is the first term in the Lagrangian. So now you have to differentiate. You want to differentiate L with respect to UT, right? Is V. Oof. And the other one is minus U. Right? Okay. Thank you. Okay, so let's prove this. It's very simple, it's just a calculation. So we need to calculate dTH, so here is H. So sigma of P, so dT, I don't know what the note is clear, dT to I, sigma over I, plus sigma PI dT PQI, minus and what is dTL? So, again, where is L? So let's write it. So dL, we differentiate L with respect to QI. dTQI plus dL d gradient QI. Well, I should write plus. Here you can write dj
Right, so you, now you see L as a function of U, V, U, T, V, T, and the derivative with respect to X. So I'm going to differentiate L with respect to T. Right? So I have differentiate with respect to QI, dQI dt, differentiate L with respect to the derivative. Remember the QI are the real and imaginary part. It looks a little bit heavy, but it's quite systematic. So let me not make a mistake here. DI I'm confused now. Yeah, DJ QI. No, that cannot be. DT, thank you. DL DT QI. And here, DTTQI. Yes. All right. And now, where is the equation? The equation is here, so I'm going to replace that one by its formula. Now this one, by definition, it is rho I, right? So I can replace it by rho I, the dot di just a bit confused here. I don't know. Let me finish here. Plus PI, this is PI. You agree this is PI? DTTQI. So I differentiate L with respect to DJQI. So here I want to write gradient QI. Tell me what this calculation now. It's a bit complicated. They are quite simple, but thank you. So you combine this and that, and what you should get is that this term cancels with that one. Let me take a color. You know, when you take you replace DTL by this last line, this term cancels with that one. This one cancels with this one, and what's left is a combination of this and that, which is exactly the gradient of the problem, the divergence. Right, so the green terms vanish and the red. Okay, so this is the conservation of the Hamiltonian. And to finish with this calculation, I want to do the variational formulation again.
And to recover the Schrödinger equation as the equation written above, Hamiltonian PDE. So what is delta H? So delta H with a capital letter, which means that I have integrated in space variable. So delta H, where is H? H is here. Okay, and I integrate with respect to X. So I'm going to calculate delta H as integral over R of pi dt of delta qi plus dt qi of delta pi minus delta m. All this integrate over dx. But with this delta L, we calculated already a number of times. So what's left? Pi dt delta qi plus, right, this one I just copy, minus delta L Well, it's already the same story, except that I can write it a little bit more compact. Delta I minus sigma I, right? So this means sum over the dxj, and minus, sorry, that's a little bit heavy calculation, but dt qi. So there are certain terms that vanish. For example, these two are the same, right? Well, wait a minute. Should be a little bit careful. Yes, they're the same. Because pi is exactly the definition of this quantity. Here's pi. dld dtqi. Right, so these two terms, they cancel. And the rest, you can write it... the rest, you have to play around with the definition of the dldq, dl, etc. The same way as we did here. And what remains is integral over Rn of delta pi dt qi minus dt pi delta qi dx. So this one is this one, and the combination of these two gives it. Why? Because by integration by part, this delta, this derivative can come on the first term, dl d gradient, and using
the Euler-Lagrange equation, the dpi comes out. Okay? So this is delta H. And now if you look for the extremum, this formula that I need, if I can erase, the extremum of the Hamiltonian, you get exactly the Hamilton equations. So you identify this to delta H dpi delta pi plus delta H dqi delta qi. So the Hamilton equation becomes dqi dt equals exactly dH dpi. And now you have to go back to U and V to remember what is pi, qi, etc. And when you go back, so let me rewrite this one, dpi. You go back to U and V, and now you go back also to psi and psi bar. So this is the way we like to write the equation. You play around with the definitions. So you remember that Q1 is U, Q2 is V, P1 is V, and P2 is minus. And the equation becomes dH over C. All right, so these were the two classical formulations of NLS. And now we're going to move to the next section. The next two sections will be devoted to conservation laws. And the first section will be very general. It will be the Noether theorem. So we will express the Noether theorem for a general Lagrangian. We will see that. We will prove that if, once you define the Lagrangian and an action, a transformation, each time you have a transformation that leaves the action invariant, this leads to a conservation law. So we'll do it in a very general form for general Lagrangian, and then we're going to apply it. The application will be the section 3, and will be a series of conservation laws and invariants. We'll do both at the same time. For NLS. This is our program. Now, for the Noether theorem in the context of dynamical systems, the reference book is Gelfand and Fomin, 63, and this essentially I'm following more or less their calculation. All right. So let's have the setting. We need some notations. We need a little bit of notations to start with. So we're going to have an action, the action, a general Lagrangian. Lagrangian L, and to be in the context of NLS, I'm going to suppose that it depends on psi bar, as we did here. It depends on all these derivatives, and psi t alright, and the action S will be integral of L dx dt over x and t. Right? Now, the other notation I need to write in a little more systematic way, I will write psi equals tx, which means that t0 is t, and the others are x. Okay. And I will need also, I will work with c1. I will write, I will not write U and V because I need to make sums over I. So if you don't mind, I will work with psi and psi bar that I will call psi 1 and psi 2. So sometimes I will call it psi I when I need psi and its complex conjugate. And sometimes we can also write it as big P. Mm-hmm. And the domain, some integration domain, time space domain, I will call it D, so I don't have to rewrite it many. Okay? And we're going to consider a group on transformation, group of transformations. T epsilon, that depend on the parameter epsilon. And the notation will be that psi will be transformed into psi tilde. Psi will be transformed into psi tilde. So this psi, and a priori it depends on everything. It depends on psi, psi, epsilon. And we will assume differentiability with respect to the parameter epsilon. So this is exactly what Lars was doing. So at the end of after discussion with Lars, we realized the calculation is essentially the same. What I'm doing here, I'm doing in a general case Lagrangian, proving the Noether theorem, when his approach, which is a little bit more direct, works directly on the NLS equation and works out the conservation laws. But essentially when I do Taylor expansion, it has derivatives, so it's exactly the same calculation. Okay, so we... The big P, yeah. So, all right. So everything will be differentiable with respect to the parameter epsilon. And, of course, for epsilon equals 0, T epsilon is the identity. And since we are going to do infinitesimal transformation, I will write this delta xi psi plus delta psi. I will have to define a little bit more carefully what I mean by delta psi, but when it comes, I will define that. Okay? And S of psi, of big psi, will be transformed into S tilde of big psi. So S of psi is defined here as the integral over the domain D of L, and S tilde will be the integral over the transform domain of the transformed. So this one is integral over D. It will be transformed into integral over D tilde of L of psi tilde. It's a big psi. Oops, so here it will be dxi tilde. Okay? And we are interested in transformations. We're interested in transformations that leave S invariant. Okay. So later we will need to write that L depends not only on psi but dpsi, all the derivatives. We're going to write it in detail, but this is. So we're interested into transformations that leave S invariant, and for. Sorry. There is T, because D. No, D now will be D0, D1, D. D, D, right? So there is here. Yeah. There is everything. So we consider everything together. So let me write a theorem. Now, as we see before, we're going to suppose that this transformation leaves psi invariant at the extremal time t0 and t1, so we don't have any boundary term that comes up. So let me add this hypothesis, or maybe a clear. So we prescribe. That the bounds T0 and T1 remain unchanged by the transformation. All right, so this is our setting. We're going to denote delta S equal S, exactly as I defined here, S of psi deep psi minus S of psi tilde deep psi tilde. And from here we're going to write down the theorem, the Noether theorem. It is S tilde. All right. Thank you. I think I'm going to put it like this, like the usual, the transform minus the original one. Everything has tilde minus the transform. And I'm going to write here the theorem.
So if the action S remains invariant, does not change by the infinitesimal transformation, T, and you see this transformation acts on the independent and dependent variables, it acts on all the variables in the form psi, how do I write this? Xi plus delta xi psi and in the proof of the theorem, I will explain exactly what I mean by delta psi, at what point. But then the following conservation law holds. So take the sum over I, 1, 2. I is indexed for the real imaginary. Take the sum over mu, which is the index of the dependent variable. This is the independent variable. This is independent variable, dependent variables. And now take d xi mu. So this looks a little bit mysterious, but we will, when we proceed the proof of the theorem, we'll see how these terms are well defined, and we will see also how we apply it to NLS when we do it for the special Lagrange. All right, so we may not do all the proof, but at least we can set up the formulas so we can work out it next week. We need to define the xi tilde will be xi plus in terms of this infinitesimal transformation, the transformed variable xi tilde will be seen as xi plus a small perturbation. So in particular, when I have the Jacobian, it can be written as 1. So what is a Jacobian? Well, it's in principle, it is D. It's a determinant of the matrix C0, Cn, C0, Cn. Right, and since at lowest order, this transformation is the identity, so
So it's 1 plus sigma over d, so let me just write it correctly here. Derivative of the increment in new variable I'm sorry, I have so many notations, sometimes my mind is getting blank. Sigma of mu equals 0 to n of this. Do you agree with me that it's the determinant? So it's essentially C1 becomes C1 plus dex tax C1, etc. So this is the only thing that appears. All right, and ds, integral over d of l of c tilde d tilde c tilde dx d tilde minus, I have to put d tilde, thank you. Only diagonal terms. Yes, I don't. Yes. Is it a restriction? Not exactly. At lowest order, I'm calculating the infinitesimal contribution. Minus L and you see that this has two terms because the domain are not the same, so you have to we're going to write it in two terms. We're going to write it integral over D of so I'm going to use the transformation. So integral over d of this one, this term I will not touch. And this one I will use the transformation that brings d tilde into d at the lowest order. So it will give me L. Multiplied by the Jacobian. But the Jacobian is 1 plus sigma at lowest order. We're doing infinitesimal calculation. It's as if we differentiate. delta xi mu over so next week I will clarify this question about the different components, not computational at the moment. All right. So this will be delta S. So as you see, there are two terms. There's one term which is this one, the differential of L of the transform minus L of the original over the domain plus this one. So let me rewrite it like this. And maybe we can stop at this point. Dc plus what remains, which is integral over d of L of c tilde dc tilde of these terms, sigma sigma over the mu right d dixi. This is the two terms that we'll calculate next time. In particular, since we are calculating everything at the lowest order, at the linear order, this tilde can be dropped because we are already a variation here. So we will be able to drop this tilde in the calculation. Okay. So next time I'll calculate this difference. This. And we will see that if delta S remains zero through this transformation, it leads to a certain formula with this form. So this is the purpose. Okay? Thank you. Sorry for the hesitation. The computation is a little bit tricky.